Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Trey Compton, hello. Actor, director,
wow.
Man of mystery. What is this?
What is this? Well, you know, I'm a man who does research. You know, I've done a lot of research on what you do.
Uh-oh.
I watched a lot of videos. Mm. And two things really came up in all my preparation. First of which, all of your guests are incredibly underdressed. Well-versed, but incredibly underdressed. So I was always told, you know, dress for the occasion.
Well, you know
overdress.
Why? They are. I have to say this in their defense. I usually just show up at their house unannounced. And
yeah,
they don't have time to really prepare.
But we don't have that information. So I was always told as a youngster by my mother, you know, overdress. And if you're overdressed, just say you have somewhere else to be, you know, later. But I don't. So it's good. This is the place I need to be. This is all the only place I want.
I'm glad this fits into your busy schedule.
The other thing I realized is that you drink a lot on the show. You're usually sipping, right? It's cocktails, right? But none of these theatrical people are taking advantage of this free booze. So I'm already one in.
Yeah, I think
we just
they're
started.
Concerned about their reputation. Usually it's off camera. And, you know, you'll see that we cut. And we have to kind of, it's like, you know, editing. There's a continuity manager here.
Yes.
And they have to keep it, you know, full. But, oh, they're down in them, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But,
well, I'm already
but some. Now, some are very conservative. They, you know, they may, unlike you, sir, you know, some, you know, like to, it's kind of like being at a party and you don't really, like, dig into the hors d'oeuvre, you know.
Yeah.
They're, you know, want to maintain sort of, yeah, but you'll see me. I'm sipping away.
Yeah, absolutely. So I figured, you know, because I'd at least be having one or two of these mm-hmm. that, in the videos that I watched, no one had made you a cocktail, so I'm going to make.
This is true.
I brought some aperitifs.
You're going to make me
yes,
a cocktail.
Yes, yes.
This is wonderful. This is this is a perk that I have been not privy to up until this point.
Great. So we're doing Young Frankenstein at Pittsburgh Musical mm-hmm. Theater. So I figured I'd make a medical themed. A drink, because I'm playing a doctor.
Well, I in my words, they're all medicinal.
Yes,
so
yes, but this is truly a medicine themed drink,
oh.
A monster themed drink. Okay, so just, you know, a shaker full of ice, any shaker will do, and you know, just alcohol, the price that it is nowadays. Thanks, Obama. Alcohol, the price that it is. This is much cheaper nowadays. This is just 91% isopropyl alcohol. You could buy this really at any. You know, a pharmacy.
Oh.
I bought this at Rite Aid.
Yeah.
And this is like 91%, you know, beer is like 5%. So you want to use very, very little of this in your bag.
I see.
Very, very little.
Okay. Oh.
So just pour just a little bit in. Uh-huh. Just, you know, whoa, smells like hospital and coffee.
Oh, that's the stuff.
Yep. And then just three ingredients in this thing. Just a little bit of chocolate sauce.
Mm.
Yep, there you go. Yep, just a little bit. And then just for, you know, show, this is just green food coloring because we want it to look a little monster green, right?
Ah.
Mm-hmm. That's really all it is. That's the cocktail.
The house
just give
succinct.
That a little shake. Just give that a little shake, yep. Mm-hmm. And then we pour it, and it's a beautiful, beautiful monster green. Look at that. Yes.
Why, it's a emerald of a
it's
drink.
It's an emerald of a drink. And then this is a garnish, right? That's a pill that I got from an acquaintance of mine in Butler County. And you just let that kind of fizz. And that's the beverage that I've made for you. It's called, and what I call it the Dr. Huxtable. That's what I call it. The Dr. Huxtable. Doctor, because of medicine, and Huxtable, because it tastes like pudding.
Now, will you try it first?
You want me to have...
Oh, please. I insist. Oh, you know, the chef must taste... Oh, my God.
Whoa. Puts hair on your back. Wow. 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 That bites. That bites hard. So there you go. Your first signature, monster signature cocktail.
Yes. You know,
and it bubbles like the monster.
I don't know quite what to say.
Yeah, okay.
Except thank you.
Yeah, oh, well, you're welcome.
And if your words begin to slur, I recommend that you have another immediately.
I'm seeing God already.
Well, now that we're now that we're good and tipsy here.
Yeah.
No, it's good for way to clean you out, you know?
Yeah.
And then this cold and flu season,
yes.
That you're not going down. Yeah. I mean, you've got quite a bit of work to do here at PMT.
Yeah, I think there's vitamin C in this. I'm not sure about that. No, probably not.
Now, can you? Are you still...
Yeah, no,
still
I'm present-ish. All right.
Well, let's talk about you then, or whatever you can recall.
Oh, please. me. What a subject.
Whatever you can recall this point. Where did this journey begin for you?
Well, I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. We know it well. I love this town, so it's so wonderful to come home. I grew up here. I started out in acting, actually, as a wee lad because I had a severe stutter. They actually deemed me legally mute.
Well, after that drink, you might be once again.
Absolutely.
Welcome back.
No problem.
Please don't drink anymore.
Well, no. I mean, once you're in it, the first taste is awful. But the second, you know, it's one of those things like the monkey house that once you're in it long enough, you get used to the smell of poop, you know.
Tell me about it.
Wow. So yeah, I had a stutter. So they, as a last resort, they said, go to acting school. So I went to acting school. I went to Act One in the North Hills. I was there for a couple of years and I stopped stuttering. Something about the memorization of lines, having a seed partner.
There should be a medical journal on that.
Yeah, they should make a drink for it.
Well, we could call this the stutterer, actually. I think that'd do the opposite. But no, if... I mean, theater has so many benefits for,
yes,
you know, young, eager minds.
It is true.
To add that to it, I think, is really incredible.
Yeah. No,
so you are a true product of the theater.
Well, I thought the least that I could do for something that saved my life, really, not to sound overly dramatic, but is dedicate my life to...
Can you say that over dramatically so we can really...
The least that I could do is dedicate my life to it.
Your lips are turning green.
Wow, really?
Your tongue is green.
My tongue is green?
Good God, man.
Yeah. It's the theme of the show.
You were committed to this bit.
Oh, man.
I tell you, if nothing else...
Stick with the bit. I'm going to have a green... You're going to come see the show at the Byam Theater, and I'm going to have a green tongue.
Now, tomorrow, when we're eulogizing you, I'll at least be able to say, he was a man of convictions, and he should have been convicted.
He stuck to the bit. Always stick to
There's
the bit,
There's your headstone right there.
He stuck to the bit.
Till the very end.
They're going to cremate me, but yeah, they'll make a headstone.
So how do you get... So you live and work in New York now, which is like the magnet for stage talent.
The magnet for pessimism. But yes,
a lot of things. So was it that Pittsburgh wasn't fulfilling you or you just wanted to see what was going on there?
I mean, the thing is that I my wife and I, we applied to a lot of colleges and... we applied to 8 and got into the same 5, and we thought, okay, we'd go to school together. And Pace University, New York City was one of them. Point Park was another one of them. And, you know, we spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh. We loved Pittsburgh, and we were ready to go to New York. I'm already slurring. We were ready to go to New York, and we spent 4 years in New York in school, and then I've been there for 8 years since. And, you know, it's a theater town. I love the town, you know. And I've made incredible contacts. I've met amazing people. I've done great theater. But it's always nice to come down, back to downtown.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank
Welcome
you.
Back.
It's
indeed.
So nice to be here.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have... I mean, I can't speak for everybody.
Well,
but I'm glad you're here.
How about the actors who have to deal with me in rehearsal this afternoon?
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, we're recording this at night. I don't even know what time it is. That's what this the Dr. Huxtable can do.
So now you also direct.
I do. That's been my gig.
So, okay, how did you make that transition from actor to director?
It was in college. I really concentrated in, I always knew I wanted to be a director. Well, not always. I realized that kind of in high school, that I wanted to transition someday into directing.
So what was it about it? Just the ability to boss people around, read big cheese,
you know,
huh?
It's not that. Everyone assumes that directing is just telling people what to do. It's really just it's truly the pinnacle of collaboration. It's being
that is very true.
You know what I mean? And it's just sifting through all of these incredible ideas and A-type personalities and figuring really pinpointing what makes the story work. That's what I love so much about it. I also didn't really like running shows for a long time as an actor. I got really bored because I was always interested in inventing and finding new things and doing new bits and figuring out what works and why things don't work, especially in comedies. That after a while, I did a long run once and it really solidified for me, you know, acting is not for me. And it really solidified how much I love the rehearsal process. And that's the director's gig, you know. Well, opening night happens and it's bye-bye.
For someone who says acting is not for me, you've done pretty well with that,
oh,
I think.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Had a really great career. And you've worked up in New York at the, Theater Barn.
The Theater Barn.
I know, yes. The Theater Barn.
You do.
I was thrilled to learn that you would work. It seems the Theater Barn, I guess even though it's in New York, it technically is considered the Berkshires.
Yes.
But like everybody goes through the Theater Barn.
Oh,
it's
man.
Wild.
It's a rite of passage. And that rite for me has lasted 9 years.
Really?
I've been there for 9 years.
Directing and acting.
Directing and acting, yeah. I'm going back this summer and doing John and Jen there. I'm directing that.
I will tell you a hilarious story about the Theater Barn.
Oh, please do.
I don't know if you know. Well, I took a road trip there from Dalton, from the Berkshires, the Massachusetts side, with a friend of mine, and we wanted to be really decadent, so we rented a convertible, to drive out to the Theater Barn, wear sunglasses, hair blowing in the breeze. And I don't know if you know, but there's this like antique flea market that's like on the way to the Theater Barn, right?
Yes.
So we stopped there in a convertible.
Okay.
All right, and my
was
friend.
It robbed?
No.
Okay, good.
But that plays into the story a little bit.
Okay.
So we're shopping around, and she's an antique buff, and she finds this mannequin torso from like the late 1800s that was like worth a mint, and they were selling it for a really, really good deal, although still expensive. And she just went bananas because she was into costumes and things. So she bought it, and we put it in the convertible. And then we're almost late to get into the Theater Barn. So we get there, and you know, we just rented this thing and we're trying to run in. And she's like, lock up the car because I just paid a mint for this torso. And I'm like, okay, but I can't figure out how to get the top, like, on this car, like, down. So I'm like, I don't know what to do with this thing. She wouldn't let me just leave it sitting in the car because she was certain it would be stolen. So we had to take it into the Theater Barn. And she didn't want to, like, trust them with it, like, at the front desk.
Yeah.
So there was, like, a young, you know, kid, like, working at the box office. And, you know, we said, well, can we take it into the theater with us? Now, this thing's as big as a person, you know.
It's a torso.
And he said, well, let me ask the manager. So he went and asked and, like, came back and said, well, and he kind of didn't have a straight face. He just said, well, you'll have to buy it a seat. Thinking that that's going to, like, defray us. But we were just, like more engaged. We're like, yeah!
$26 here.
We're like, yeah, we're going to do it. Dude, we'll buy it a seat. That's hysterical. So it was Kiss of the Spider Woman. And our seats were right up front.
Yes.
And, you know, it's an intimate space when you're sitting right up front. So I don't know what, like, the Spider Woman thought when she come twirling out and seeing this, like, disembodied torso sitting there. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
Oh,
she
my
had to buy
goodness.
And it was a female, so it had very pronounced breasts.
So did the torso. Or are we talking about, okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, but the woman that played the Spider Woman was fantastic. I wish I could remember her name.
She still
but,
talks about that production.
You know who that is?
No, the woman, Joan Phelps, who runs the Theater Barn, still talks about that production. They loved that production.
The woman who played the Spider Woman, whoever it was, could make a career out of doing Diana Ross.
Oh.
You know, I mean, she kind of had that look. I actually think was even a better singer, but she was just phenomenal. It was very good production. So enough about a theater that nobody in Pittsburgh probably knows about, but many Pittsburgh actors have probably been through.
Yeah,
but absolutely. No, you know, it's the big world of theater is a small world at times, and it's exciting to find, you know, when you know these common out of the way places. So do you travel a lot?
Yes. So I spent actually most of my time out of New York. That's the irony, of course. You spend your youth trying to get to New York City, and then the first 10 years of your career, you spend all 10 of those years trying to get out of New York City to work. So it's always nice to, you know, take a break from the city, especially in this weather. Oh, winter in New York City is the worst.
Worse than Pittsburgh?
Worse than Pittsburgh, yes.
All right, well, let's make sure everybody hears that.
It's worse
so that when they're griping about, you know, our winters here. Yes.
Because you have cars. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Because even when you go down to the subway in New York City, it's still freezing, and there's still slush. Mm. I don't know how it happens, but there's still slush. There's no escape of slush. You go on to the subway, there's slush.
At least here, you
get in your car, and it's warm after 10 minutes.
We don't know how good we have it.
No, you have it great.
Mm. So you have come back to us
yes.
to perform in Young Frankenstein with Pittsburgh Musical Theater.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, this is a little bit of a full circle thing for you.
Yes,
because you were a student here at PMT?
Well, so Colleen Petrucci, who's directing this monster of a show, quite wonderfully, may I add, she directed our school shows at North Allegheny.
Oh, okay.
And so she directed and choreographed for us for all 4 years that I was there. We did a couple shows together, and then Laura Hayhurst, my wife, who's in the show as well, we did...
Who does she play?
She plays Inga.
Oh, my gosh.
So I
didn't know that.
I get to roll in the hay with her. And then we do things on stage together as well. She did Legally Blonde a few years ago, and Hairspray and Sound of Music here, and I was in Legally Blonde with her. So they had us back for... They had me back. I don't know why. They keep bringing me back. It's a mirror.
So did Pittsburgh Musical Theater ask you to do this role? And you, by the way, are playing Frederick Frankenstein.
Yes, Frankenstein.
The
role, of course, made famous by Gene Wilder.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, what was your first encounter with the film, Young Frankenstein?
Okay, so I loved Spaceballs as a kid. That was like my jam, right? So I watched Mel Brooks and Monty Python like way too young. Way too young. So I think I watched Young Frankenstein after I watched Spaceballs for the 8th or 9th time, wearing out the VHS. VHS, it was this thing where they inserted tapes and rewound. It was this crazy thing. I owned the VHS, and it was dead, so I went through his canon, and I think I watched Young Frankenstein. I must have been 12 or 13.
Did you ever think... A, this is going to be a musical, and B, I'm going to be the Gene Wilder.
No. Well, I saw it on Broadway, and I saw Roger Bart do it, who was just brilliant. And it's really a massive undertaking to take this iconic, I hate the word perfect, but it really is pretty close to a perfect movie, and say, we're going to make this a musical. And I think they did a really good job at really tipping their hat to say, this... movie is so iconic, and we're going to adhere to all the bits that worked and then still kind of wink and say we're doing a musical at the same time. It rides that thin line.
It seems to have translated very well.
Yes.
So, and yet there are more things that, you know, are in this musical than the film necessarily.
Yeah,
so it's a little bit of a departure, but still the, you know, the same
quality
Mel Brooks piece that we're, you know, accustomed to.
And he wrote it all. He was there in the room.
The musical?
Yes.
That's great.
Yes, he did. So it is his work, which is an honor to say his word, you know, really.
Have you ever, because they'll make a musical out of anything now. You know,
gotcha.
I mean, I went to buy bread yesterday at the grocery store. It's going to be a musical.
Yes, actually, we're workshopping Pittsburgh Vivant, the musical.
Yes.
We just got Brian Darcy James to play you.
No, I have not approved that.
Oh, no?
No.
Oh, check
so who's
contract.
This we? Who's this we?
The people with money.
Have you ever been able to predict, oh, they're going to make that into a musical?
Oh, well, when I saw Frozen... That was very clear.
Oh, that's going to come.
I knew as soon as I saw Frozen that it would be a musical, and also that my favorite ride at Epcot would be no more.
Mm.
There's a ride at Epcot called, it's a troll ride, it's a Norway ride. It's,
oh, and there's snow and things.
Yeah, and you go through the history of Norway, and it's an acid trip. It's a lot like drinking this drink.
Actually. Bottoms up.
And you don't know what's going on, but it's the best ride in the park, and as soon as that movie came out, I said, oh, they're going to
tear that down.
And they are.
I predicted Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yes, of course, I've done that show.
Yes, that's true. You directed it, or were you?
I've played Freddy twice and directed it once.
Wow.
I've made a lot of hundreds of dollars on that show.
Oh my God. I predicted that. I think in 2002, I said, you know what? They're going to make a musical of this.
Yeah.
And it's not, it wasn't an obvious choice.
Yeah, of course.
But, and I have somebody that can vouch for that for me.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Did you like Dirty Rotten Scott?
The film?
Well, both.
I have never seen the musical.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-mm.
Another one they did a great job at, along with with producers as well, they did a great job tipping their hat to the film and saying, this is what worked in the film, but then also adding little new bits that surprise you.
Mm-hmm. I thought that, you know, I'm not a huge Andrew Lloyd Webber fan, but I thought the Sunset Boulevard translation very respectful of one of my very favorite films of all time. And on that note, you've worked with Patti LuPone. Is this true?
I did.
How was that?
Oh, my goodness. It was a time, man. She's a machine. That woman, man. That woman, they call... She's a diva, and she earns it, man. We did a production of Passion, Stephen Sondheim's Passion. It was like a PBS Live at Lincoln Center thing. Mm-hmm. They do that every once in a while. They did it with Sweeney Todd quite recently with Emma Thompson. Well, we did that with Passion. It was Patti LuPone, Michael Cerveris, and Audra McDonald. So a really crappy cast. Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
I was in the room, and it was, you know, like a week of rehearsal because it was concert staging. I was doing nothing, right? But I was just there. And they were like, you're on. And I was like, oh, but Patty's talking. Like, I was a little girl. I was geeking out every day. And then Michael Cerveris came over to talk to me. And he smells great, by the way.
Oh.
Like, he's...
These are the things that we don't know. So thank you for sharing.
The best-smelling man I've ever met.
Was it cologne?
I don't know. It's just his natural Cerveris odor. I don't know. I want it... if it's his odor, I want it bottled. Mm. And I want to drink it. Wow, still green?
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, don't worry about that. It's going to be green for a while.
He came over to me, and I was geeking out. And at one point, I said, you know, I'm listening to you, but I'm geeking out. I'm sorry. I just need to get used to it.
And what was his reaction to that compliment?
Oh, they're just people. Mm. That's the thing I always forget. Like, I'll meet movie stars. I've met a couple movie stars, and I don't get... It's like, oh, nice to meet you. But, like, Broadway people, I don't know why. I don't know why, but I become a little girl.
As you twirl your mustache.
I'm not used to having mustache. I'm growing out a mustache.
Oh, really? So this is for the show?
Yeah, I'm not used to... My wife loves it. She doesn't.
I think it suits you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
But I haven't seen you without it, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that's true.
But nice job.
Is there any green in it?
Not that I can see. No. Now, did Pittsburgh Musical just ask you to do this, or did they make you audition?
Well, that's a story. So if I'm directing, I told Colleen this, if I'm directing this play, whoever's playing this role, I need to see them do the material. Doesn't matter who they are. Roger Bart, doesn't matter. Mm. It's just, it's mammoth. It's so much. It's so much. So we were going to come in and audition, you know. And it was one of the 8 huge snowstorms.
Mm.
And I was in the middle of teching a show. And I rearranged the day off so that I could come in. And we were trapped. Like, we were driving. We had to pull off the road. We were sliding off the road. It was awful. So we turned around. We did a video audition, sent it to Colleen. And she cast me. I still don't understand how this happens.
But, you know, I have been in a few of the rehearsals.
Okay.
Because I'm in it, too.
He plays my grandfather. Doesn't he look
good? Yeah, I knew it was going to happen sooner or later, just not this soon.
What? He plays my grandfather. But it's a dream. So it's the grandfather when he looked the best.
Ah, I like what you've done with that, the spin that you've put on it.
Yeah.
You're in the right business.
Yeah. Thank you.
But yes, you play Frederick Frankenstein. I play the original Victor Frankenstein.
Yes.
Who, like, created the original Frankenstein monster.
There's a whole novel about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have that? I don't think so.
Do I don't have a novel, no. Yeah. I read it in high school. I think I read the Cliff's Notes.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
But this role is not in the film. It's, you know, one that's for the musical. So
yes.
we've got a song, you and
we've
I,
got
sir.
We got a song together. We dance. There's a gigantic puppet.
It's like everything you could want and more. And working with you, sir, is a pleasure, I must say.
Well, working with you is a pleasure.
Get out of here.
Now we get to share drinks.
I know. And, you know, we obviously have the same wardrober.
Well, yes. I mean... I own one tux, so I figured, you know, whenever there's a chance to wear a tux, why not?
But we open in, what, a week?
Oh, yeah, God. From yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But you know,
and you're in the play. It's wonderful. It's fun for each.
I've been told that I am in there. I hope I show up. So I think I do have that in my calendar. So yeah. I will be there. I will be there. But you know, you are really good in this. You know,
well,
I'm not.
Nice.
I'm not a critic. I'm not a reviewer. But you know, to watch you play this guy that we all is so iconic in our minds is Gene Wilder. You know, you are both respectful and original.
Well,
you know, with it, you're a really great fit for this, and I'm having a blast. You know, I'm laughing at you even though I have this serious face because I'm like I gotta kind of be. But then what gets me is when you'll react to like my over the top reactions, and you know I just want to laugh. So know that I'm laughing on the inside, but I can't break because we can't go full like Carol Burnett show with this.
Oh, well, that's the thing for me. It's not about creating character. For me, this has been a masterclass for me in not breaking.
Oh, there are funny people in this
and
show.
And let me tell you what, I'm failing that class. Like I have like, I'm between like an F and a D minus right now. I'm failing. Like between Tim Hartman, who plays
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, Tim Hartman, my wife, Laura, who's playing Inga, who just makes me laugh getting up in the morning. And then Quinn, who's playing Igor. Andrea, like all of, Tammy's playing Frau. I mean, I've been breaking every single night. So it's just been a masterclass in trying not to break.
Well, I hope that, you know, for all of us who are watching, it remains funny. But for you, it gets very serious.
I hope so, too. I hope I figure out some way to not laugh.
Well, because the whole situation of being a descendant of a very famous family line and the pressure that is put on you to create a living body through dismembered body parts. I mean, that's a lot. That's a big monkey on your back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, and the gigantic puppet.
Yes. We are going to be on stage with, what, like a 60-foot Frankenstein puppet. Now, I have to say, that's an experience that is going to be altogether new to me.
Yeah. Well, good. Me too.
We're in this together. I'm glad.
Tech's going to be a breeze. Between that, there's a table that flies. There's a rotating, you know, of course, the rotating bookshelf.
Yeah. Now, what was hilarious, we were doing this scene, and in the script, the stage direction was... for me, because you know they're looking at a portrait of Victor Frankenstein. The stage directions are: Victor melts out of his portrait and materializes in front of Frederick. And I said, "Now, I consider myself an okay actor, but that might be a little beyond my capabilities."
I think, first of all, I disagree. I think you're a great actor, and if anyone could melt onto the stage. And into our hearts, it's you.
You know what? For the people of Pittsburgh, I'll get there. I'll make it happen.
Come check out Young Frankenstein, where you'll see him melt onto the stage and into your hearts.
And you may just melt, too.
You may just melt, too. I have to say this about the show. If you're interested in beautiful voices, just incredible laughter, great dancing, just a plethora of just lewd, disgusting sexual jokes... well, unfortunately, My Fair Lady of the Public has closed. So come see our show.
That was great.
Thank you.
How long did it take you to come up with it?
I went through 4 or 5 drafts. You know. I had to go with My Fair Lady, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Big
fan. Have you ever done that show?
No. No.
Is
All
that
3
one
hours of it? No, I haven't.
Is that
now,
one
that's
on you?
That's one of those shows, that and Fiddler. Yeah. It's just everyone does that show. I've never done it.
How long is this Frankenstein thing that we're doing?
Oh, it runs... Thanks for asking. It runs between... I'm so drunk. It runs between May 5th and May 15th.
I know that. I meant, like, how long? Is it, like, an hour and a half, 2 hours?
Oh, I don't know. I just show up and tell me where they go. It's like, just go here and say your lines.
Runs the first 2 weekends of March.
First 2 weekends of March at the beautiful Byam Theater in downtown
Pittsburgh.
It is
a nice theater.
Oh, my goodness.
I am honored to be on stage with you and the rest of this cast. I really am. There is no ego in this for me. I am just in awe of all of your talent and, you know, this great show. I am, you know, it's like the show is a beautiful bedspread and I'm just a pretty sham. I'm just...
You're the prettiest sham in all the shams.
Yes. Well, you need to say that about the fellow that's playing your grandfather. You
know,
good
course.
Genes. I think they really took this into consideration with the casting.
I'll call you Grandfather Sham.
Yes, yes. So you've got big shoes to fill, you know, and
Tim Hartman's
got even bigger shoes to fill.
I mean, I don't know. They had to special order him those boots. I think their size, I don't think there's a number. I think the number is so high, it's just like, they had to use a Greek number. It's like size
like
beta.
A Roman numeral.
Beta Hartman. I don't know. Goodness. I have to drag him off stage. You haven't seen that bit yet.
Oh no.
I have a hernia. I've named her Patty.
Oh my goodness. That very, very appropriate. Mm. Yes. Do you seriously? Are you coping with a hernia?
No, not at all. I was just making a bit because I have to drag him, all 8 feet of him.
Well, is he being dead weight? You got to tell Hartman to like dig in, you know?
You can't tell Hartman anything. Because if you tell Tim Hartman to do something, he's going to do the opposite.
Is he
which
like
I love about
him. Is he a prankster on and off stage?
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Really?
Putting us together on stage is the worst mistake that this company has ever made.
Oh,
they've done it twice.
But I think in that sort of, you know, reverse psychology, it's actually the wisest thing.
We are having too much fun. Oh, he is such a hoot.
It's a must-see. You would be a shame if, you know, because the show doesn't come through Pittsburgh that often. It's a stellar cast, stellar production.
Well, thank you.
Your folks really
got
to come out to see it.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying that because they threw me a role where I play a grandfather.
A grandfather who melts into your heart and warms your toesies as he's a sham. A sham. He's not a sham. Oh, that's the wrong word.
Huh?
You're not a sham at all.
I think I'm quite legit, as a matter of fact.
You're the real deal.
Yeah.
There are cocktails.
Cheers, Mr. Compton.
Cheers. Thank you for having me.
To this and all of your future endeavors.
You sure you don't want to try some?
You know, I've had quite enough.
All right.
That's all you.
Bon appetit.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.